Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week we celebrate Earth Day, Earth Week, Earth Month with some of the key figures on the climate conversation in the whole country. Governor Jerry Brown, the four-term governor of California, has made climate change one of the causes of his life. We talked to him about that, about gas prices, and also about other issues that he works on. Relations with China, nuclear. He's one of the folks working to stop us from getting into nuclear war and also elections these days. And in a bit, we also talk with Jennifer Granholm, the United States Secretary of Energy, who is in California this week for Earth Day. But let's begin with Governor Jerry Brown. Governor Brown, welcome back to The Issue Is. I wish I was there on the ranch.
I wish you were, too. It's a lot better than Zoom, but Zoom is also quite good.
Yeah. And on this Earth Week, you know, obviously climate change is one of the causes of your lifetime. How do you assess the state of the world right now when it comes to climate?
Boy, first of all, I want to just say that's a complicated question because there's so many facets. But we're talking about Earth. We're talking about 7 billion people. Millions and millions of species, and who knows what all else. So I would say that it's always a question of both good and bad. The good is that people are aware. They're developing a planetary awareness that comes from our space program, that comes from ecological understanding. So that's good. And climate now is on the agenda, whereas a few years ago, it was barely even mentioned. But having said that, what the world has to do. And the number two, the number one and two people who have to take the lead is China and the U.S. And what we have to do is get off fossil fuel, almost 100%. And do that takes political will, takes money, takes the people going along with it, and takes great technological innovation. And it takes collaboration in a world that is at war in the Ukraine, and that is in a war of words and also policies with China. So I would just conclude by saying Governor Newsom smiling while signing an agreement with China is very rare, but very important. So both good and bad, but today we might think about all the good we can do.
You know, a lot of people hear that and they agree with a lot of it, but then they also have the imminent problem of gas prices, that they got to get around places right now. And they feel like they need fuel right now, that a lot of those problems are long term. How do you balance that? And what do you say to people that are hurting right now because of those gas prices?
The truth is, right, you've given me a real tough question because I feel for the people that drive, and certainly in Calusa County, people drive a lot. But the fact is, the Russians have a lot of oil. The Middle East is not going to share it with us. And the planet demands we get off oil as soon as possible. And that takes the government helping us buy electric cars, helping us get electric buses and machinery. So it's going to take a great spending to alleviate the economic hardship. But in the short term, there's no way to ease the pain. It's out there for some much more than others.
Well, some would say a short-term way to ease the pain would be to drill for more oil. What do you say to that?
That's not a good idea because we have to have a horizon that's more than tomorrow or even next week. And if we don't take more radical, more serious climate action, it's going to be worse for millions, billions of people, and worse in a few years, not a few decades.
Do you think there should be some sort of gas tax rebate, which is what's being talked about right now in Sacramento? If so, what does that look like?
Well, My instinct as a politician would start to go in that direction. But then upon greater reflection, I realize we can't do that. We're not doing enough now. Already, we're spewing, some would say, 60 billion gallons, 60 billion tons of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere every year. And that's becoming like a blanket that's going to keep the heat on the earth and making more dryness, more forest fires. Oh, you're going to be covering forest fires another month or two. So we have to take the action. And one action is reducing our fossil fuel use and to drill more or to subsidize more of the fossil fuel consumption. Unfortunately, it might give some short-term pleasure or reduce pain, but long-term, not very long-term, a few years, bad idea, very bad.
Let's talk about another issue. You are the executive chair of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. You look at the issue of nuclear war very closely. How close are we right now to Vladimir Putin taking us to nuclear war?
Well, we never know. What's in his head, who knows? And he definitely has some, you know, has some views that could lead to the tactical use of nuclear weapons. And the great problem is, if Ukraine is winning and Putin just can't stand that, he may resort to some weapon of mass destruction, at least tactical nukes. And then what do? Do we engage that? I mean, the world is on a precipice. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists has a doomsday clock. They've set at 100 seconds to doomsday, the closest it's ever been. And that's not just because of what Putin might do, but because of the complexity of nuclear systems. Americans, Russians, Chinese, Indian, Pakistani, they're all subject to human error and software error and hacking. And if the wrong things happened in the wrong combination or the right combination, it could be a horror. So an accident, a blunder, a miscalculation is a bigger threat even than an intentional act of war.
Well, that sounds hopeful.
No, well, look, we can be hopeful. You look pretty happy. San Diego is a great place to be. I have a lot of blessings. So you got to be thankful, but wary. So, look, we got a lot of blessings. We got some good. But never avert your gaze from the evil, the bad, and the dangers that all the world's leaders, some more than others, are contributing to.
You, we've talked about this. You're the chair of the California China Institute. You've studied China extensively. Their COVID lockdowns are in the news recently. Here's some video of people literally screaming to be let out of their apartments in Shanghai. Some of those restrictions have been lifted, but there's still a lot of restrictions there. What do you make of the way that they are handling this situation?
Well, it is a rather acute sense of the danger of the virus, more so than most people have. But secondly, it's a authoritarian, total control society. It is a Communist Party, a Leninist-inspired controlling operation. That's the way they're doing stuff. In some ways it works, but in some ways it can be a real horror. And this lockdown, you know, who wants that? Even in America, people are screaming even at the far less constriction. So it's the old, you know, freedom and control. What's the role of the government? I'd say China is giving an example of what we in America don't want and increasingly are getting away from.
But you say, despite our differences, we need to find a way to work with them.
Well, think of all the bad you want about China. And it's a matter of lesser bads, lesser evils. A nuclear war is a greater evil than whatever our disputes are with China. Now, there could be a war over Taiwan, some miscalculation in the South China Sea, colliding airplanes. Great danger. And I don't believe people in Washington are talking enough with the Chinese. They say it's a waste of time to talk to the Chinese because they don't listen, and they just say the same thing over and over again. We have to strive for dialogue. We're in a dangerous world. We have thousands of nuclear weapons. The Chinese now, in fear of our nuclear weapons or for their own political ideology, they're building hundreds and hundreds of more nuclear weapons. So the world is on a track for more danger, more risk. And that means whatever our differences, and they're profound, we must talk to the Chinese. And we're not doing it enough. In my opinion, we have what I call crackpot realism in Washington, not planetary realism. If you think of the whole planet, if you think of what could really go wrong, then you have to take prudent steps to reduce that risk. Same thing with Russia. Mm-hmm. We got a bad horror in Ukraine. But you know what? It's not the end of the horrors.
Let's talk about an issue closer to home. You know a thing or two about winning statewide elections in California. We've got ballots going out next month, primary in June, general election in November. Any favorites? Anybody you want to endorse in any of the races? Want to make some news with us now?
No, because every time I endorse somebody, then five more people call me on the phone. And inevitably, a couple of them are running against friends of mine. So, you know, I'm up here at the ranch. I'm worried about rattlesnakes and coyotes and such things. So I got my own little things to worry about. And sure, I got my favorites, and I'm a Democrat, and I hope they do well, and I hope they do a good job.
But nobody that you're pulling for in, like, the controller's race or the AG race or any of these big statewide interesting races? Well, I mean, people are interested in what you have to say.
Yeah, but look, it's not even Memorial Day yet. You're jumping the gun. So let's chill for a few months longer.
Okay. Ballots go out in a few weeks. People are going to be voting. Everybody gets one
but
there.
You know what? People have to make their own choices. And endorsements are nice, but that's not the key. I'm not making an endorsement just to make news for you.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to, but it'll get me more in trouble.
Big picture, where do you see sort of the state of the Democratic Party, President Biden, where everything's at going into the midterms this year?
I see big trouble, big trouble. And it's been, the cycle. You go from Republican, Democrat, and back. It's happened all the time. So I think the Democrats have big trouble. The Republicans are veering way to the right. But unfortunately, the Democrats are very divided with themselves. You know, you get the Bernie Sanders wing. You have a lot of cultural liberals that are not, are not in sync with some of the moderates and conservatives. So I'd say the party's got its work cut out for it for the midterms and even 2 years beyond. It's not decided yet, but if I were a Democrat, I think I'd stay on my toes and get as ready as I can.
I mean, any advice for the party of what they can do in the months ahead to try to change that trajectory?
Well, I think you have to keep it simple. And the key in politics is arithmetic, not subtraction. You got to add and add. The way you add is you have a large idea, get America moving again. That was John Kennedy. So prosperity for the people of this country and this state. You start carving it up into these micro identities, then you lose the middle and you lose the independents. And remember, Democrats aren't a majority. So you must get independents and maybe pick up a few Republicans.
One last note about our visit to your ranch. That half hour special was honored by the Sacramento Press Club as a finalist for Broadcast Interview of the Year. We cannot thank you more for your hospitality. We had such an amazing time out there. Big thank you to your colleague, Evan Westrup, as well, for making that happen. And thank you, Governor Brown, for being such a gracious host.
Well, great. By the way, it doesn't look that as green as that now. You came at a very beautiful time. It was fun. We ought to do it again. You know, we'll have a lot more to talk about in another 6 months.
We love it. All right. Well, we hope to see you back on the issue as soon. We'd love to come back and get more of your olive oil, which is something that Governor Brown makes there on the ranch as well. Thank you, Governor Jerry Brown. Great to see you.
Great to see you again.
Our thanks to Governor Brown. Now to United States Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm, originally from Canada, grew up here in California, went to UC Berkeley, became the governor of Michigan, became a cable news champion, came back to UC Berkeley, and is now the United States Secretary of Energy. We caught up with her in downtown Los Angeles.
Hi, Jennifer Granholm.
Hi, Jennifer Granholm.
That was Jennifer Granholm being sworn in as the United States Secretary of Energy. Granholm was born in Canada, but moved to California as a kid, as a proud graduate of UC Berkeley. She previously served as the Attorney General and then Governor of Michigan, and then became a fixture on cable TV. Secretary Granholm celebrated Earth Week here in California this week with a series of appearances. We caught up with her in the Arts District in downtown LA.
When you look around a space like this, what do you see?
Oh, hope. I see the future.
We're with U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm at the Los Angeles Clean Tech Incubator.
It's all about educating, understanding how it works.
She meets with a series of entrepreneurs creating new green technology. Also here, U.S. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh.
When you think about what's happening in this very spot,
you truly are innovators.
What do you see as sort of the state of our planet right now when it comes to climate issues?
You know, one can look at the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which continues to issue these reports that say that we are at code red for humanity.
In the present, the tough reality is sky-high gas prices and struggling poll numbers for President Joe Biden.
People like Joe Biden. They know he's a good man, but their personal reality is defined by what they're seeing at the pump, honestly, so much of it. And 70% of the cost of inflation, that inflation going up, is fuel.
The president now releasing 1 million barrels per day of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
He's doing everything to try to increase supply, which will reduce the cost so that people aren't hurting. But there is no doubt that this war is going to continue to see prices elevate until it is over.
Long term, Granholm says, electric vehicles are the answer.
The future is clearly electric, but the question is, how do we make sure that electric vehicles are affordable?
The president's proposed Bipartisan Innovation Act would give you $10,000 to $12,000 in subsidies to help you buy an electric car.
Provide tax credits at the dealership to bring down the price of those vehicles to make them on par, comparable with gas-powered vehicles so that people will be able to afford them.
Here in L.A., there's a goal of zero emissions by 2028. Governor Newsom wants California to only sell electric vehicles by 2035.
Is that real?
Yeah, no, it is real. California is on the leading edge of this, clearly. And the whole country looks to what California is doing. Some people don't like what California is doing, but California is really thinking ahead into the future.
Part of the challenge of getting more electric vehicles on the road is having enough charging stations to sustain them. The Biden administration's bipartisan infrastructure bill is investing $7 billion in chargers like this one.
Granholm's energy department is also investing in cheaper batteries for cars. This week, she visited the so-called Lithium Valley, Salton Sea, which could end up powering many of the state's vehicles.
What's been sort of the biggest surprise or most exciting part of this job?
Such a great question. I love this job. I love my boss. The president is the best boss by far that I have ever had. And I love my team. I feel very privileged to be here now.
Our thanks to Secretary Granholm. By the way, that Bipartisan Innovation Act has passed both the House and the Senate. Both chambers are now negotiating the final specifics on how it will actually work. Our thanks to Governor Granholm, Secretary Granholm, Governor Granholm, and Governor Brown. And our thanks to you for listening to the Issue Is podcast. We hope if you like it, you'll share it. You'll reach out to me in social media. Let other people know about what we do. I'm Alex Michelson. See you next time.